more so than an outside company.
Mr. Quintero.
Great. So I'm proud to say that if elected, I would be the only city economist on city council. And I think that's important because as a city economist, I had to help businesses guide through regulatory matters of city, county, and state. I understand what it's like to immediately go into the fray of trying to start your new business and try to navigate city code and make sure that you have the resources available to you. How many here know that the average age of our city is 36? Yeah, it's a real thing. And the people that we're trying to keep here are our graduates, our high school entrepreneurs, our trades, our business owners of the future, and future market buyers for real estate, for housing. The best way we can keep them here is to have a combined student loan forgiveness plan between the city, county, and state for when you start up a business in Albuquerque. And the reason why I say that is because we're the second highest default rate in the United States. If we don't take this seriously, if we don't make the investments we need structurally within our city government to bring in new leadership, we are going to miss out on all the people we depend on for our business.
Ms. Vigil.
Many of the businesses in this room started out small. I'm sure Bohannon Houston wasn't always as big as they are. I'd like to say that I feel like business is the heartbeat of any city, and we have to support them in any way we can. I feel like grocery receipt tax has to have audits, especially on the county side. They've collected $75 million for behavioral health, and we've yet to have any kind of housing for the mentally ill or drug-addicted population. I also feel like we've got to address the social issues. The homelessness, drugs, and crime are pulling down all of our businesses. And also a shout-out to two programs we do have. The LEADA grant, which LAVU got, that's an absolutely fantastic way of building up your business, as well as New Mexico Main Street Mission, and maybe if you don't know about these programs, Gary Oppendollers or the new economic development director should be doing more outreach to the small businesses. Thank you.
Moving to District 4, Ms. Bassan.
Local businesses are facing significant challenges originating from numerous sources. In addition to higher regulatory costs and tax liabilities, our businesses struggle to overcome the regular criminal acts that leave their property, employees, and patrons at risk. It is a significant financial burden for a local merchant. Am I doing the wrong question? No, okay, good. It's a significant financial burden for a local merchant to have continuously repair the damage caused by criminals breaking into their buildings. In addition, the revenues are impacted as a result of customers being scared away from their storefronts by the vagrants that are there. Further financial burden impeding the success of Albuquerque's entrepreneurs is the continuous stream of these unfunded mandates, such as high minimum wage increases and mandatory sick leave. I think that we need to stop imposing more mandates and uncompetitive regulations and start providing them relief from the financial burdens that makes our city safer.
Ms. Christodoulou.
As a serial and parallel entrepreneur, for the most part, ABQ was friendly until I did solar and electric vehicles. Friends, we need to solarize, electrify, embrace the movies, and go digital. But also, once climate change takes full hold and we have temperatures like Phoenix, we'll need to address our food and water security. So let's think ahead. We need more farming. New Mexico Gas, start looking at water. Construction, develop disaster rebuild teams for other cities and make ABQ into Berkeywood. Most of all, mentor and connect. Our government needs to stay out as much as possible. We need to get the community involved. We need to connect youth and those women whose kids have left home, like me. We have given up on us doing anything about climate change with education and opportunity. I've seen it work as a politician now. Believe it or not. So let's stop being a welfare state and start being a thriving, democratized economy.
Ms. Romero.
We need a sign that says Albuquerque is open for business. And how we do that is by making it easier for individuals to be able to start their business and also a more fair process. I've been actually researching states and what they're actually doing. There are some states that are actually allowing for small businesses that are startups to have a wave of their small business license or certificates and things of that sort. Why aren't we being innovative and looking at that? I also strongly support programs like LEADA and also the JTIP that will provide job training incentive programs. And why aren't we giving more credit to programs like West that are helping to create economic development and also helping to provide the capital for small business owners to start up. We have to look at tax credits and incentives like the IRBs and actually put those towards businesses that are going to keep those jobs right here for New Mexicans. And just my last plug, one way that every single one of us can contribute is by participating in the 2020 census. New Mexico is the hardest to count state, and in 2010, we left billions of dollars on the table by not participating. So everybody participate in the census.
District 6, Councilor Davis.
Thanks. Ditto to that. Yeah, we need the money. First, you know, let me say, I don't necessarily agree with the total premise of the whole question. You know, the facts tell us a little different story than they did a few years ago. Last year, small businesses with less than 20 employees added 3,700 jobs. More than 5,100 jobs were done by startup companies, DWS says. According to that, that's companies that started by hiring their very first people. Small businesses carrying our water still in New Mexico when it comes to big economic development. And so they're not looking at those issues as something that's holding them back. They're setting up that new expectation. The Kansas City Reserve said we lost 3,900 millennials with college degrees in the first half of the last decade, but 3,600 have come back in the last 2 years. That is the direction that New Mexico is going. And the new $1 million city job fund with C&M is set up to train 1,000 new workers in the mayor's Increment of One program that Councilor Benton and I fought really hard to put back in the budget after budget cuts this year with Councilor Gibson and Councilor Sanchez and others. That's the way we change, by using city dollars to help small business.
Ms. Dennis.
Gina Naomi Dennis, District 6. I've been a small business owner. I operated a business for 8 years. I know what it feels like to need to have incubation incentives and economic support. In my district, we have the historic Route 66, and when the ART ART Transit project came in, it gutted and destroyed and crushed over 70 businesses along Central Avenue in that business corridor. In addition, there are businesses that lost up to 60% of their revenue. If we talk about wanting to support businesses, we not only have to talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. I've also worked with small business development centers. Those are arms of the Small Business Administration. We need to do more with our SBDCs to make sure that they are working to support and incentivize our businesses so that people can have businesses not just start in New Mexico, but also grow in Albuquerque.
Thank you. Before we move to our last question, Lynn says that we have enough time for 2 minutes in your closings. So if there's always that one thing you just wanted to say, you're going to have your chance if you can do it in one extra minute. So our final question, homelessness and crime. According to the Department of Housing and Urban Development in 2018, 2,551 people counted in New Mexico as part of the annual homeless survey, with a majority in Albuquerque and likely more who did not participate. Safewise recently named Albuquerque as one of the 10 most dangerous big cities in the nation. As business owners, we are concerned about the health and safety of our employees. As a city councilor, what is your plan to address these problems, and how do you plan to pay for your ideas and or programs? And we start with District 2, Mr. Baca.
The biggest thing I can do as a city councilor, or the city should do in general, for to help business owners with the crime problem is get rid of the McClendon settlement agreement. The city leaders really need to grow a spine and fight that agreement. That agreement does not allow APD officers to arrest for most misdemeanor crimes. Nothing's more frustrating to a business owner than having someone shoplift from their store, and all that the officers can do is give them a citation with no arrest. That's the first issue, and that's not going to cost pretty much anything, because it's just allowing your officers to actually do their job. The next is we need to focus have police officers on more detectives in the burglary property crimes unit. If we cut city spending and gear that towards police officers, there's no reason to raise taxes or anything like that. The city just has to give up its government projects, its pet projects. Thank you.
Councilor Benton.
Yeah, first and foremost, we need to hire 200 more police officers, which will get us to the 1,200 goal that the mayor and Chief Geyer have stated. We are on track to do that. We've increased by 200 in the last 2 years, and we'll make it to the final goal in 21. But also we need to change the way we police, and I think we're on the right track with that too, with this mayor and this chief, and that's community policing. I've long been an advocate for bicycle patrols. It's the modern equivalent of a beat cop. They're in direct contact with businesses, people on the street, and residents. Last on crime, reducing gun violence. We need a red flag law in this state, and I will continue to advocate for that at the legislature. We need to build the emergency shelter as proposed by the administration. That's going to be on the ballot. You can vote for that this November. And also we need to construct between 1,000 and 1,200 supportive housing units over the next couple of years for homeless and people who just need simple, affordable housing.
Mr. Nelson.
Thanks. So I view homelessness and crime as a public health issue. I think when we talk about standing up our very first public health department here in our city, Albuquerque is the only city of its size that doesn't have a public health department. It sounds really ridiculous, doesn't it? And so for me, reducing homelessness means getting people into housing quicker, starting up housing first policy, also making sure that we renovate some of our old and existing properties that are abandoned and getting people into housing as quickly into there as well. It means that building capacity for social services for mental health and substance abuse, we're actually putting up more case management services and case managers into the field so they can address and assess what's going outside on our streets and guide people into our system and create more of a managed, coordinated care system for our city and our constituents. And once you start to address more of our public health issues, crime starts to go down. We can start to address poverty more meaningfully. We can start to get wages. We can start to get more access to health care. And that's what a public health department will do for our city in terms of reducing crime.
Mr. Quintero.
So we've had the opportunity to address this issue for 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, 4 years. So when I hear comments like, you know, we're on the upswing, when we were number one in car auto theft and domestic and car burglary, and now we're number three, that's nothing to brag about, in my opinion. You know, we need to do better. We should have done better. But instead, we focused our attention and financial resources on heavy infrastructure projects and traffic studies. And I think that's where we need to shift our focus away from and start to be able to restore the amount of police officers that we have for community policing within our neighborhoods that desperately need it, homelessness shelter, and being able to provide direct access to care for people that need it the most. I am the only candidate that is endorsed by both our firefighters and police, and that is because my plan is comprehensive on the issue of public health and public safety.
Ms. Vigil.
I consider myself an expert on this subject because over the past 6 years, I've had meetings with business owners, county. Debbie O'Malley was sending her assistant, and Mayor Barry at the time was sending Matthew Conrad. Over the past 6 years, I've studied the issues. I've talked to people in Santa Fe. The key to all of this is Santa Fe needs to step up to the plate. We need long-term residential treatment centers. And Sandra Rue, who talked to me about going to the county, says, look, ask the county, where's that tax money that's been going for behavioral health? It's not going to cut it to build a $9 million unit on 3rd Street to house 42 chronic homeless. I can also tell you that our group, again, I'm going to put a plug for us, I'm meeting directly after this meeting with Lisa Huval and the other head person, which I'm going blank. I believe that our campus could be one of the solutions. That could be transitional housing for people not on drugs. We're always addressing the chronic homeless drug addict, but what about those who we can easily help? One more topic is this RFP from the mayor has to stop. It is not well thought out on $12 million to house 300 to 400 people. Thank you.
District 4, Ms. Passan.
In order to reduce both homelessness and violent crime in Albuquerque, we must focus on the root cause of the problem, which I believe is the epidemic of illicit drug use and addiction. Until we're able to minimize these, our residents and businesses will continue to suffer from the consequences of an out-of-control crime epidemic. The construction of the proposed centrally located homeless shelter will not simply warehouse individuals, but will also provide them with the essential drug treatment and social services required to recover from their disease. The general obligation bonds issued to fund this new project are said not to increase our property taxes, but still allow for a place to send the homeless other than the parks, business, parking lots, hospitals, and the overcrowded jails. We also need to enforce our existing laws. Violent criminals will continue to prey upon the citizens of Albuquerque until they know they're going to be arrested and prosecuted. I support strengthening our police force so that we attract qualified officers, and we must prioritize spending our city budget on the basic services instead of funding pet projects.
Ms. Christodoulou?
A friend of mine just returned from San Francisco. She'll never go back. They're overrun by the homeless. I happened to serve some of them lunch this summer at The Rock. There, the security costs now outpace even their high electric bills as they feed and care for the homeless. But I hear ABQ is working on addressing the whole person and the root cause, and that needs to be continued. But I live in a homeful district. Our homeless come on the bus to hang out and aren't the problem. It's property crime. Our property crime will always be around until I get to heaven. But there are efforts in progress to reduce and control the size of this issue. Efforts already in the budget. Community policing, police safety officers, and a digital neighborhood watch program, to name a few. We need to make these programs work before trying something new.
Ms. Romero.
So crime and homelessness, what I have learned by participating as a member of the Northeast Policing Council is crime, majority of crime is actually brought on by substance abuse. And we need to get to the root of that problem. I support the mayor's plan to increase police officers by 100 police officers every year, and also providing support for the firefighters. These are the ones that respond to the down and outs in our community. We actually need to address this from a serious policy standpoint. We don't need feel-good policies or pie-in-the-sky ideas. We need to address this in a responsible manner. We have to get to the root of the problem. And we also have to look at the prevention, early intervention efforts. We can't wait till folks are in jail or incarcerated until we figure out that it's a problem. How do we pay for this? We're already paying for it. The 3/8 cents tax by the city that was passed by voters, as well as the Bernalillo County Behavioral Health tax. The voters and the constituents in Albuquerque have given us our marching orders. It's now our job to elect someone to city council who's going to uphold to these fiscal responsibilities in a way to enact good policy for behavioral health.
District 6, Councilor Davis.
Yeah. You know, as important as we all think we are sometimes, at the end of the day, no single city councilor or mayor is going to fix all of these problems with one big grand plan. It took us a long time to get here, and it's going to take us a while to get out. But I will say that we see the path going forward. For the first time in 8 years, we have a comprehensive homeless plan that begins with partnerships. I see Commissioner Hart Stebbins here up front, who's been leading the initiative from the county to get the behavioral health tax program set up. And those are now working at our temporary Westside shelter with a new partnership where the county is providing health services. UNM is providing physical health services. APS has a classroom for homeless students. And now we're moving forward. That partnership happens every day for those of us who spend the time doing it. A couple years ago, I convinced my colleagues to put $150,000 in housing vouchers into the county's MDC program, and it helped us, with Maggie's help and the county's help, create the first jail system in the country where no one leaves homeless or without health care. And that's dramatically changing our dynamic. We just need to continue that work together to move forward.
Ms. Dennis.
Gina Naomi Dennis, District 6. So with respect to crime, I said this earlier, I'm gonna say it again. 80 to 85% of our crimes are committed while someone is high or trying to get high. Addiction is a huge underlying issue when it comes to our crime. If we could focus on getting folks the sobriety treatment they need, bringing it directly to them, the outcome would be lower crime. We also have a huge issue when it comes to police response time. And I've had many meetings with our APD folks, our leadership in APD. We need to improve police response time so that when someone calls the police, they actually come and they come on time. But if we target that addiction, we'll have a lower crime rate. When it comes to homelessness, that's a population that is suffering from mental health issues and addiction. We have over 3,000 vacant and abandoned properties that are literally rotting. We can do something about that. Let's focus on these underlying issues.
Before we move to District 8 for the last questions, I'm now told that we're back to 1 minute for closings. So whether that's a broken political promise or political flexibility, I'll leave that to determine. But my apologies for that. So District 8 on the homelessness and crime question, Councillor Jones.
Thank you. We all know we have a homeless and a crime issue. What came first? Homelessness, addiction, abuse, drugs. Where do we start? We have to do them all. We do have money coming. We've put money into everything. But until we start finding a way to make it happen, and we don't know yet, none of us really know. We can't take people off the street and force them to go to a shelter unless we arrest them and put them in prison, which is not happening. We do not have a way to fix this yet that really works. We're trying it, as you've heard from the other speakers. We have many methods that we're trying. We have different areas where we're doing it. We have to keep that up. But what do we have to do first? In my opinion, we need to educate our children. We do not want the upcoming generations to be in the same situation that our city is in today. We are not educating our children. When we're 49th, we're not doing something right. If they don't get an education, if they don't have a roof over their head, if they don't have someone with them who is responsible, it's not going to work. Let's work with APS and see if we can come up with a joint decision. Thank you.
Ms. Scourin.
I support the growth in the public safety budget, especially increasing not only officers, but also the support personnel. But violence breeds more violence, much like measles spreads. We need to interrupt the transmission by mediating conflicts and treating those who are at most risk of behaving violently with help for employment, education, and drug treatment. I support continuing the Heading Home Project, which has housed 4,800 people over the last 8 years. I also support the bond issue to build a new homeless campus with a shelter and services. But there is a dearth of affordable housing for the lowest incomes. I support preventing homelessness with a strong program of housing set-asides.
Thank you. We will now move to our newly reinstituted one-minute closings. And our rotation is start with District 4, Ms. Bassan.
I was born and raised in Albuquerque. My family was born and raised in Albuquerque. I come from a long line of proud individuals with integrity, compassion, and who are not afraid to work. It is because of my hard work that Councillor Winter has endorsed my campaign to build on his successes and move our city forward. I decided to run to represent and make sure that we reduce crime, mental illness, and addiction while making sure our businesses are safe and continue to grow. I'm committed to being a leader for you. I am not a politician with an agenda to make this a stepping stone to further my career. I'm a resident who wants to make sure we do the right things for our city to keep our children and our businesses safe while also living in an environment that people want to visit and come to instead of continuing to leave.
Ms. Christodoulou.
It's clear that Albuquerque needs to press forward to resolve a long list of challenges, which will only get worse unless we face the biggest one. We're no longer in denial, right? I don't pretend to have all the answers. However, as an engineer, app creator, veteran, and parent, I'm used to solving problems, big and small. I've already worked on the state level to create positive change, but we seem to be frozen in fear here in Albuquerque. However, we have no choice. We must address climate change, not plastic. We must strive to keep our children safe now and in the future. We're floating toward a waterfall. We need to start paddling and get out. The longer we delay, the harder we'll have to work to maintain a livable planet. The city's role is to encourage development that creates opportunities and a good quality of life. Together, we can enrich today while preserving tomorrow. United, we will. God help us.
Ms. Romero.
I would like to start by asking everyone a question in the room. If you or someone you know was in crisis at this moment, by show of hands, without calling 911 or going to the emergency room, who can tell us where they would go or what they would do? The silence in this room at this moment is exactly why I'm running for City Council District 4. 6 years ago, I met a young man by the name of Aaron Henderson who was homeless and severely mentally ill. And for 6 years, I saw how Aaron fell through the cracks without access to quality services. A week before Easter, Aaron died at the age of 26. In our community, people are dying because they don't have access to care. We have not streamlined those services. I am the only candidate running in District 4 who has directly worked with these populations, not just directly with the populations themselves, but from a policy perspective. I am running because I care about our community, and I know that we can do so much better. In City Council, I will continue to be committed to these programs, and 4 years from now, I will return, and I will promise that every single person in this room will have their hand up when I ask that same question of what will you do to help someone in crisis. Thank you. Ana Romero, running for City Council, District 4.
District 6, Councilor Davis.
Thanks, Ken. And thank you all for being patient with us. You know, usually at these events, we have a chance to introduce all the elected officials. I know there were a bunch here. As I said, I see Commissioner Hart Stebbins here. My colleague, Diane Gibson, Ken Sanchez was here. But, you know, I mentioned that because we're not the only thing on the ballot this year. Tim Eichenberg, our state treasurer, is also an AMAFCA board member who's running and on our ballot in November. Like, these elections and these races matter because it's hard if you've been at city council meeting till midnight on an IDO or on some social issue. It's hard to get five of us to agree on anything. And so it really matters that we have folks that we can work with, that are moving us forward, that have collaborations together. And since I only have a few seconds, there's one other person I do want to acknowledge. Councilor Brad Winter is here today. He doesn't get to join us every time, but he served for 20 years at the City Council. I don't know how many midnights that is, but join us in saying thank you to Brad. So, thanks.
Ms. Dennis?
Gina Naomi Dennis, District 6. I am 41 years old. I've been an attorney for 15 years. I'm licensed to practice law in Washington, D.C., where I started my career, representing companies and governments. I practice tribal law in New Mexico, and for 4 years, I've organized our neighborhoods in City Council District 6. I've organized 17 neighborhood associations. In doing that work, I've worked directly with the city, the county, the state. I've worked to form relationships to bridge the gap between community and neighborhoods. And I'm here today because the community has asked me to run, because they're disappointed in what happened with the failed ART Transit project that crushed so many of our businesses and so much of our economy.
District 8.
I've been in the news over 40 times on KOB News 4, and you can look me up at ginaabq.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you. District 8, Councilor Jones.
Thank you. Thank you, each and every one of you, for being here. I know, because I recognize so many faces, you are all involved in the community. You are involved in actions. You are involved with your money, your investments, and your businesses. Your children have gone to school here or are still going to school here. We appreciate everything you do. And as a city council, it is our job to do everything that we can to make it better than it is today. We've seen ups and downs in the city. That will always continue. That's the way the world runs. It's our job now to get us up as high as we possibly can so that we can all be proud. We can bring visitors to town. We can drive them down this street and not be embarrassed by what we see with the homelessness and the drug issues and the closed buildings. I'm so proud to see all of the new buildings going up, especially along Central and the downtown area where we say we have failed. This has brought our city to a new level with all the private investment there. Thank you all for helping.
Ms. Scourin.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you all today. We all know about the city's crime problem. That needs to be approached from two angles: working on the root causes and strengthening our law enforcement. I intend to work closely with the Foothills Command to address this issue. But besides tackling the city's problems, we also need to build a vision for the future. I would work with constituents to evaluate the infrastructure and other needs in the community. On this and other issues, I would hear and amplify their voice. I would bring solutions to my Marine Corps background of service and spirit. Albuquerque has so much potential. I feel like we're on the verge of turning a corner.
Thank you. District 2, Mr. Baca.
Being born and raised here, I am tired of city government creating a problem and then complaining about the problem they've created. That's why I'm running. We need to allow We need to get government out of the lives of citizens and businesses. We need to allow businesses to prosper and allow freedom to find the solution. We should not be burdening businesses with burdensome regulations. We need to allow our police force to police and do their jobs. I'm Stephen Baca, and come November, I hope to have your vote. Thank you.
Councillor Benton.
Thanks, everyone, for your interest in city government. I really think, I've always thought it's where the action is. It's why I got involved. I think we're the most nimble and effective level of government. And I think I'm a lot like my neighbors, longtime neighbors in District 2. We're not flashy. We just like to put our nose to the grindstone and do hard work. And that's what I've done over the years on the council. And it's been a labor of love, and I'm very proud of my record on the city council. I hear people belittling something like traffic calming. It's probably the top call that we get at our office is stop aggressive and speeding traffic going down my street. People want to be able to walk. People want to be able to safely bike and get around town. And I've sponsored the complete streets ordinance, unanimously passed twice now with the update with my colleagues on the council. Also, I was the co-sponsor of the Workforce Housing Trust Fund. I mentioned that this is a critical component of what we've been talking about with homelessness. We've got to be able to continue to work with the Behavioral Health Initiative at the county to do the good work we're already doing and build upon it, build the shelter. I encourage you to vote for the bonds. Very important this fall, November 5th.
Mr. Nelson.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with all of you today. I know we have some monumental challenges coming up, but the only way that we do that together is we do that together as community. We need every one of you to step up and stand up, and I know all of you already are, to some of our biggest challenges in social inequities going around in our town. And I'm reminded of what it says on the dollar bill. There's a seal on the back of it with a pyramid on the top of it. It says, and my Latin is terrible, annui coeptis. That means he, meaning God, favors our undertaking. And if you look at the bottom of that pyramid, you'll notice the pyramid is unfinished. And that's a metaphor for our country being unfinished. And that means that we are meant to do better. That we are meant to raise the quality of debate in our country and our communities. And the only way we do that is together. Thank you. I hope to get your vote. I'm Robert Blanchetta Nelson. Election is on November 5th, 2019. Thanks.
Mr. Quintero.
My name is Zachary Quintero. I'm running to earn your support and respect for City Council District 2 and our downtown in the heart of Albuquerque. I'm running here because you know what we've had for the last 10 years. I'm saying we deserve something better on issues of homelessness, behavioral health, poverty, and keeping our graduates here. I'm here because I feel we haven't had the priorities met in our budgets. We haven't had the priorities that our business owners downtown, who I've met 43 of, have all told me they're worried about how they're going to be able to retain their employees, their customer base, because of the issues that I just mentioned. I feel if we know what we've had, we need to go somewhere new. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm asking for your support. I'm asking for the respect of your vote and time to take us where we need to be as a city. Thank you.
You have the last word.
I want to tell a joke, is that okay? Okay, last week I met Tim Keller as I was summoned for a 15-minute talk about my candidacy. That turned into more like 30 minutes with the mayor asking me questions like, what should I do about Wells Park? He was actually taking notes. I kidded with him and I said, look, I really respect your positive energy. I think we're gonna be a good team. And what I forgot to say was, I'll be the brains and you can be the beauty. Because right now, I feel like Tim Keller is all about PR. Everybody in this room may or may not agree with me, but he's going in the wrong direction with this RFP on the homeless. It's going to be another art project. I am passionate about my city. I grew up here. I'm well educated. I went to New Mexico Tech, guys. But also, the thing is New Mexico Tech made me a person to know that I can succeed with your help. Dell Decker said it best at his seminar last week. We as a collective, you as the movers, shakers of this room, help me get elected. The status quo is no longer good enough. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our forum. I'd like to thank our timekeeper for her thankless job, Kendra. I'd like to thank the audience. You've been a very attentive and civil audience, and we very much appreciate that. And most of all, I want to thank the candidates for your time and energy and participation. Without you, our system doesn't work, and we appreciate you getting out there and doing this. Thank you.